How's everyone doing? Good. Praise the Lord. God's going to do something incredible today. He's been saying a lot of things to me, and the topic that I'm going to be preaching on today, he's been saying for a while, and it's something that he's been personally calling me to do. And I was like, yes, Lord. And so as soon as I said yes, like that first day, God started working. He started swinging the hammer. He started cutting down the grass, you know. He started putting me into shape, and it's when you actually like make that decision to be serious, make that decision to be like, God, I'm going to empty myself so you can fill me. That's when God is going to move. That's when God is going to give you what he meant to give you. And you're going to keep growing in that so you can go, so you can fly. Yes. But before I start, I would like everyone to rise, please. And I'd just like to pray over this service, over this message, because God is going to do something incredible. So, Lord, we thank you that you are in this place, God. We thank you that your spirit is here. Your spirit is in every person right now, Lord. And I just ask, God, that you prepare the soil, God, that you prepare the hearts, God, that you let them open up, God. Let everyone release, God, what is keeping them into bondage. Just place it on the altar, God, so that they can leave filled, God, so that they can leave with the healing that they needed, God, so that they can leave with an answer of what you want them to do, Lord Jesus. I ask that every heart, God, that every spirit just gains such a hunger, God, just gains such a desperation for you, Lord, because we want to live desperate, God. We need to live desperate, Jesus. We're hungry for you, Lord. We are hungry, and let us just live that way, God. Let us live saying it is never enough. We always want more. We want more of you and more, Lord. I just ask that that comes into everyone's hearts today. In your mighty name I pray, amen. Amen. So, what God has been speaking to me for some time, maybe 1.5 months recently, he's been speaking to me about faith and faithfulness. Where is Hebrews? Okay. Yeah, he's been speaking to me about faith and faithfulness. So, kind of the same, but definitely different. We can say that. But let's start with faith. And who knows what faith is? You guys can answer. This is a proactive, productive service. He has it. Wise man. Yes. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So, things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Things not seen, you can't see it, you don't know what it is. It's something foreign to you. You can't grasp it. In a sense, it's kind of like mystery or confusion. Because like in our lives too, we don't know where they're headed. So that's why we place it in God's hands. And God leads us to where he wants to lead us, but we don't know. So in that sense, it's kind of like scary in a sense, but that's why we hope. Okay. Yeah, things that we do not know and things that we do not have any control over. I mean, we do, but we give God that control. We give God the control so he leads us. Because if you lead yourself, you will fall into a ditch. Like the blind man cannot lead another blind man, you know? Yes, glory. Hoping is to remain positive and hopeful in terrifying times. Because let's face it, the future can be really terrifying sometimes. But thank God for hope. Thank God for faith. We have faith that he will lead us through. He will take us to the green pastures. Amen. So how do you get faith? How do you get faith? Does anyone know? No? 12:7. Almost. Yes, you're right. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from... That's a good translation, but this one is more to me. So it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So we hear what God's word is, the Bible. And in the Bible talks a lot about faith, how to be more faithful, examples of faith, which I'll get to in a little bit. But if you want to be faithful, you got to read the Bible. So it's good. I read the Bible. I want to be more faithful. God's calling me to be faithful. So I'm like, how? What? Here it is. And it's actually... So like, God's like, okay, you read and you know, and then you can go out and do it. Because this is not only a book, it's the way of life. It's God's word. It's the instruction manual. And it's amazing. So faith is also a principle of living life. It is what God calls us to do. It's the principle. And a verse that I have for that is 2 Corinthians 5:7. Where is it? Yes, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It's a principle. It's something concrete. It's something that we can lean on and hold on to. It is like, it is a way of life. It is a principle. So we don't lean on what we see, because what we see is a lot of the times not of God. We can't only rely on sight. We can't only rely on the way that like your flesh wants to live, or just living in sin, but by faith. Amen. And I'm so grateful for that, because once again, we can resort to God's word. We can resort to this foundation to understand how we're supposed to live, how to get closer to Christ. And that's amazing. It's also something absolutely necessary for us to have. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. It says without faith it is impossible. There's no way. You're not going to please God without faith. So once again, that does come back to the point that it is the way of life. It's what God calls us to do, what God calls us to live by, to have faith, to spend time with him, to open up our hearts and actually let his words like crawl in so that he can have his way. So that his will can be done, so that what he meant for us to do, what he meant for us to be, can actually come into effect. Yes, and some translations, instead of, so here I have the ESV, and it says, just without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. But some translations say, those who diligently seek him. Who knows what diligently means? Constantly, but kind of, I'm looking for another word. Consistent, yes, but and there's faithful, yes, but it's another D word. Even closer. No, the word I have in mind is desperate, diligently, like desperately. Yes, it's good. Amen. But yeah, those who diligently, desperately seek him, the kind of seeking you do when you like, when you find something, when you lose something important, like your keys, or your phone, or your social security card. If you lose that, you're gonna tear the whole house down, literally. And that's how we need to look for Jesus. Amen? Dude, one day, I actually lost my keys one day. I was going to go to work, and I wake up, and I usually put my key on my dresser, on my nightstand, And when I wake up, I like load up, kind of like phone, wallet, key, done. Bible, I go read my Bible before I go to work. And I can't find my key, but I'm not stressing. I'm like, okay, it'll show up. I'll find it. I probably left it downstairs. I usually don't, but it might be there. But what happened is I was hanging out with Johnny, I think. And I took the Lexus, but I drive to work in the van. And my dad has his own van, but he went to pick up my brother in my van, and he didn't tell me, and he kept the key in his pocket. But he's sleeping. So he has it, but he's sleeping. And I thought he went on his own car, but he went on my car. And so it's nearing the time that I have to walk out the door, and I can't find this key. And I'm literally tearing the house down. I'm like looking in the couch, and like I take all the pillows off of it, and I'm like looking under my bed. And I actually wake up my brother, because I share a room with him, and I'm like, bro, help me move this furniture, because it might be behind. Help me move this dresser. Help me move the bed, like this 400-pound bed. And at one point, I'm like, okay, it's gone, because I've looked everywhere. And I actually thought that, like, while I was walking back home from the car, I might have dropped it on the road. So I'm actually outside even, like, looking on the road for this key. And I can't find it. My dad has it, but my dad's sleeping. And at one point, I'm like, okay, I'm done. It's gone. I'll just call in today. I'll explain. They'll understand. And then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to chill. I get back into bed. And then my dad wakes up, and he's like, yo, I have this key. You should have woken me up. I'm like, man. And I look at my brother. I'm like, you knew that he took my car because he picked you up in my car. And he helped me move the bed and stuff too. But see, that's how we got to look for Jesus. Like, Jesus, I need you. Where are you? I'm going to find you. Like, and the parable of the woman with the lost coins too. It's like she tore the house down to look for this coin, and she found it, and she rejoiced. Amen. Seek God diligently. Yes. Faith is also something that brings us closer to God. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. So that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It needs to rest in the power of God. And if it needs to rest in the power of God, you need to go, like, be in God's power, you know? You need to actually, like, go and indulge in it, so to speak. You need to, like, soak in it. And for that, you need to, like, press in. You need to get closer to God. You need to really, like, kind of, like, break in, kind of, you know? And that is good. That's what I love, because if you want to be more like God, if you want to be more like Jesus, if you want to reach his plan, his potential for your life, you have to ask him. You have to seek it out. You have to actually find it. And he will reveal it to you. You spend time, and it's conversation, it's dialogue, it's just being with God. And that's why if you want to be faithful, you have to lean on God. To learn, you have to lean on God so that it's revealed to you. Glory. Faith is also something that calls a result, calls a product out of us. And that is the verse I have for that is James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And I will read all of it so you guys get the point. And it says, this is from the ESV. It says, what good is this? Yes. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say to you, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So, faith kind of, what's the word? like, in order to have faith, it is necessary to have a product out of it. It's necessary to have works, because if you're just faithful, let's say you're faithful, not really faithful, but you just go around chilling, like sulking around, causing mischief, like you're not really faithful. You're a lukewarm Christian. You're a hypocrite. But faith kind of like draws you out of the comfort zone, draws you to go do something about it, calls you to actually be faithful, be. Because you can't just be faithful without not being faithful, you know? Faithful to the word, faithful to God's commandments, faithful to living the way that Jesus lived. So it calls a result. It calls you to go and do something about it. Because faith without works is dead. You can't just believe in Christ your whole life and not do something about it. That's not faith. Amen. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle. Yes, indeed. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." And, yeah, this one's closer. What I thought about this when I read this verse is this word, have. That's a command. Have faith. What was the point? Yeah, it's a lifestyle. You have to have it. You have to live in it. You have to make that like a pillar in your life. I mean, God is the pillar, but that's also that. That's also what you make. That's also like the pedestal, kind of, you know? Faith. I stand on faith. I live in faith. It's a lifestyle. And, yeah, whoever says to this mountain, "Be taken up and cast into the sea," and does not doubt, you can't doubt. And if you live in faith, if you're actually so devoted to it that you practice it, that you go and do it, you will not have doubt. You can't. Because faith calls us to be absolutely sure, absolutely certain, the hope in the terrifying time, like in the like at the very beginning. Like, we don't know, but we choose to hope. We choose to have faith. Whoever heard my testimony at the end of service, I went to a different small group with Johnny. After that, I went and chilled with my friend because I got new headlights on the Lexus and they're beautiful. So he wanted to see them. And I come over and they know I'm Christian and I'm open to them because we're on that level where we're brothers already. So I can tell them anything and they won't judge me for it. Thank you for friends like that, Jesus. But yes, I tell him, he knows I'm Christian, he knows I'm close to God, and I just start asking him, I'm like, "How are you doing? What's up?" And he's like, "Yo, this and that." He's going through a stressful time, this and that. We're just in his garage, and I'm talking to him. And he's just telling these things to me, and I'm like, "Bro, you need Jesus." And he's like, "Yeah, I think that's what it is. I'm like, "I know that's what it is. Come, let's take a ride." So he gets in my car and we drive and we park at the rec center. And I tell him some more and I'm like, "Bro, do you want to make that decision?" He's like, "Yes." I'm like, "Pray with me. Give me your hand." And we prayed and he made that leap of faith because he doesn't know what's going to come after. But God knows, and God's going to lead him into that. And then 2 days after, I was hanging out with another friend. We went longboarding at night, best time to skate, 10 out of 10. And after that, it got cold. We're sitting in his car, and I ask him again, I'm like, "How are you doing? What's up? Like, kind of like on purpose to like get him to open up. And this friend was in so much doubt and so much confusion that it was a literal spiritual battle. I stayed in that car for like 2 hours, and I got home maybe like, it was close to 2 a.m. when I got home, and I wake up at 5 a.m. to go to work. So I'm over there, and like I said, the devil just tied his mind around so tight that God needed to untie. He had so many questions. He was like, what about this? What about that? But what he said is, I so desperately want to believe, but how can I when I doubt like this, when I don't know? And I'm like, you need a leap of faith. Faith is not knowing. Faith is trusting. Faith is the choice to enter the unknown and to let God catch you. Faith is like, oh, I'm going to jump off this cliff, but I trust that God's going to catch me. He's going to provide a way. And I told him, don't jump off. But I told him, it's like, you need to take a leap of faith. And he's like, I need to take a leap of faith. But it was still, he was still doubting so much, and he had so many questions. But when you're in a situation like that, the Holy Spirit will give you things to say. Like, I look back at that night, and I'm like, how? But thank you, but how? And, I mean, God just tells you things to say. And the Bible app, thank Jesus for the Bible app, but like, things would come to my mind. And what happens is, I know what's written, but I don't know where. So I'm like Googling it in the phone, and I'm like, yo, it's written right here. And then I pull it up on the Bible app, and it got to the point where he couldn't have another question, where he didn't. And I was like, do you want to make that decision? He said yes, and he took the leap of faith, living faithfully. It's just like, I don't know, but God, you know. So you jump into it. Amen. It's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. And when I was preparing this message, I was trying to think of like biblical examples of faithful people in the Bible. And one of my most favorite characters, people in the Bible, is King David. Because we can all agree that he was faithful to God. He was a faithful person. And his relationship was so raw, so real. And it's truly like a display of like intimacy and God's mercy, and it's just a whole journey. And when I read it, I'm always happy because I'm like, God, this is perfect. This is good. This is what I want to be like. But I mean, faithful enough that he would just always lean on Jesus. Like, he would just say no to his feelings, really, but expose his feelings to God. Like, who, like, if you read Psalms, you know that Psalms is just like David with Jesus, not Jesus, but God, but also Jesus. But it's just David and God, and David's like praising him and like complaining to him and like just like to Jesus, just exploding on Jesus. And like one psalm is like, God, you're so good, I love you, this and that. Another psalm is like, God, this sucks, why is this happening to me? Especially in that time when Saul was chasing him, because he knew David was anointed. And so David has to go literally hide out in caves, in the desert. And when he's there, like his buddies, his bros are telling him, it's like, bro, you have a right to be upset. You have a right to be sad. But David, he was like, no, like, glory to God. He's faithful, he's merciful, he's good. Faithful enough that when he had a chance to kill Saul, he said, I will not lay my hand on the Lord's anointed. Like, Saul deserved to get killed, but David's like, no. And because of that, he was faithful to God, faithful to his promise, and that's incredible. Also, when he's messing up, when he went full on Mr. Steal Your Girl and killed a dude and stole his wife, and the wife had a baby, but the baby died, the moment like the baby died, David just like laid on his face and is like, God, I'm sorry. Quick to repent. He was faithful. He didn't do that thing where, like, I'm sure all of us have done this, where you mess up and it's like, God, what I did is like, I feel so bad that I can't pray for like 2 days. Yeah, and I didn't kill a man, which in our minds is like so bad. David did that, but he didn't let that guilt overtake him. He didn't let that condemnation overtake him, but he was quick to forgive. No, he was quick to repent, and God was quick to forgive. And David also never worshipped false idols, if you notice that. Never. Even his son Solomon in his later years, because all his wives were like, yo, our God is good. And Solomon was like, oh, okay. Dude, it's crazy because in Kings or wherever it's written, it actually says that Solomon built like a temple for another god. Like, that's crazy. David never did that. David never, like, he never gave himself to another god. He was faithful. He was leaning on Jesus. And that's amazing. That's who I want to be like. He put his life in God's hands. And God carried him through the trials, through the bad times. But in the end, he is called the man after God's own heart. And like the greatest king that Israel had, pretty much, besides Jesus. Amen. So faith is good. I want to be faithful. I want to be like King David. I want God to use me like he used King David. He's called a hero of faith, because he had a lot of it, and that's what I want as well. He lived in faithfulness. And God also was showing me and telling me a lot about faithfulness, because he's like, I want you to live a life of faithfulness where you're completely devoted to me. Where he said this to me, he's like, I want everything that's like separating you between me, I want it to crumble. I want it to be destroyed. And it hurt, because I remember being on my face and I remember doing something that was wrong, and then I felt bad, like physically bad. I got kind of sick, and I go take a nap in hopes of that it'll make me feel better, and I wake up and it still hurts. And I'm over there eating borscht, and then God was like, I don't want you to do that anymore. You're called to more. I'm like, okay. Okay, yes. And the next day, before work, I'm on my face, I'm praying, and I'm just spilling my heart out to God. I'm just like telling him how I feel, like telling him like what I want help with, like to strengthen me. And God speaks again, and it's crazy, because when God speaks, it's like an arrow to your heart. You'll know it. You'll feel it. And God's like, I want you to give this up. And I'm like, but I like it. Like, not necessarily bad, but could be something that separates me from God. He's like, I want you to give it up. And I'm like, but God, this guy does it, and he serves you too. And God's like, no, you are called to more. And I'm just like, you know what, God, I'll think about it. And I didn't think long, because I'm over there putting on my work boots. I'm like sitting on the stairs and I'm still thinking about it. I'm like, man, like, why? But like, yes, you know? Like, still thinking about it, but like knowing that I have to do it because God told me. And I'm putting on my work boots, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, all for you. And I give it up. I'm like, it's gone. And God's like, good job, my son. Next step. Let's go. See, God does that to you. God removes the things that you kind of like lean on, so that you can only lean on him. He removes the stumbling blocks so that they don't hinder you, so that they don't stop you, get in the way of your relationship with him. This is how he was calling me to be faithful, to really put the flesh to death, to really say goodbye to comfort, because how many times does comfort stop us, you know? It's like, God, I just got home. I'm tired. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't. I want to sleep. But literally, it's those times when you don't want to when the most change happens. That's what I've experienced. Because God is always there. You just need to tap into him. God's always there. God's so easy to find. And I'm so thankful for that. So that is kind of like how he's been working in my life. And he showed me like a vision, kind of an example. This is a dime. This is Nick, because Nick is a dime, 10 out of 10. But also everyone else, we are all dimes. And this water bottle is God. This water bottle is God. Look how small we are and look how big it is, you know? And the water bottle is big so that we look at it. We always look up to it. It's there. Like, say like the dime is like right here, you'll still be able to see it. This water bottle is huge. The hole is bigger than the dime. It's enormous. And a lot of the times me as the dime, I find myself like, visiting the water bottle. Jesus, I love you. You're so good. Help me this. Help me that. Me, me, me. And then leaving. Like kind of just like, oh, hello. Hello. Just visiting daily. But what God has been telling me through this is like, he wants us to commit to not only visit, but actually like go deeper. So, and what I mean by going deeper is like coming, like, God, I need you. Trying to press in, trying to climb this water bottle, you know? Like, I need more. I need you, Jesus. I need you. And climb it, just press in, always just, I need more. I need more. I'm not satisfied. I need so much more of you, Jesus, that I will not let anything stop me. Look at this. This is like a literal 90-degree angle. This is straight up. Gravity will keep you down, Satan. No, not today. And so really pressing in, yo, I gotta climb this. I gotta go reach God. Boom. And okay, this is good. This is where God wants us to be. But when we are in this position, God can do this. Overflow. You get changed. You get washed. And it's amazing because this is what we like dream of in a sense. It's like, God, I want to just be so impacted by you. I want to be so changed. I want to be so transformed. But in order to that, you need to diligently seek him. Faith. Like in the beginning, making the daily effort to commit, to press in, to climb in, so that we can be shaken up, and so we experience that change and the lifestyle of living in God's presence, living in the presence. Nick is living in the presence. Nick is being changed and impacted. Glory. Look, and once you're in there, can you really get out? Because it's God. God's like, yes, this is where I want you to be. Yeah, pour it out. Pour it out. So after God kind of showed me this revelation, he's like, are you visiting me or are you kind of like, or are you actually like committing? Are you actually going deeper? Are you actually leaning on me, kind of? Because when you're leaning on something, you put all your weight on it. Like that thing becomes your support. If that thing leaves, it's over for you. Like if you're, say you're leaning on like a guardrail, like a staircase or like a fence or something. Actually, Who's had fitness class before? Oh, glory. Yes. It hurts, but it's good because your muscles get big and you get strong and you can lift heavy things. Well, fitness, PE, sports, whatever. You know it hurts when you work out, Johnny. You know. But if you know what a wall sit is, you guys know what it is? Okay, look. I'm Matthias. I need Jesus. And this wall is Jesus. And what Jesus calls me to do is lean on the wall. But sometimes I'm just like, oh, spending time with Jesus. Every day just visiting Jesus. I love you. You're good. I love spending time with you. And then I go about my day, you know. I fit God into my schedule instead of like building my schedule around God, so to speak. But what God calls me to do is be faithful, like need me, lean on me. So he calls me to wall sit. I'm leaning on him. If this wall falls down, I'm falling down too. Like, there's nothing really holding me up. I mean my legs, but you know what I'm saying? Okay, maybe like this. I'm leaning. If this wall goes down, I'm going down. But it's not going down because it's Jesus. And you're not leaning on your own strength. You're leaning on him. Glory. It's so good. And so good. And when God revealed this to me, he asked me that question. Are you visiting me? Or are you leaning on me? Are you pressing in? And that got me to think. That got me to have like that internal dialogue. Like, Matthias, are you really doing that? Are you really leaning on Jesus? Or are you visiting him? Like, having tea and cookies with Jesus is cool and all, but God calls us to lean on him, to put our weight on, to actually make him the only thing that is holding us up. So that's why when God said to remove the walls that are before him, like say in that case it was a chair against the wall. God's like, no, I don't want you to sit on that chair. I want you to just lean on me completely. And that got me to think, and I'm like, God, you have a point. And that's why I'm like, yes, you're calling me to be faithful. So I will go. And a story that came to mind when I was... No, I wasn't going to choke on the dime. It's okay. Anyways. A story that came to me when I was writing this sermon is the parable of the servants and the master. He goes away on a long trip and he gives them money, right? To one, he gives five dimes. To one, he gives three dimes. And to one, he only gives one dime. Dimes, yes. But, yeah, he gives them and he's like, invest this for me. Let this money work for me while I'm gone. So that while I'm gone, something's happening here besides what I'm doing there. And those servants are like, okay, we'll do this. The one that has five goes out and invests it. He buys a field, he plants some tomatoes, and then he sells those tomatoes for five more. So he gets 10. The guy with the three does the same thing. He gets six. They increased the master's money. And we all know the one who was scared, he takes his dime and he buries it. He wraps it in a napkin and he buries it because he's scared. And he's like, I'm not losing it, but I'm not gaining it, but I'm not losing it. So it's still his, you know? So, and then, I mean, what did he do after he buried it? He just chilled, really. He's not working. He's scared. He let that fear drag him away from what the master intended for him to do. And when the master comes back, what does he say? He says, "Well done, good and louder." Yeah, faithful servants to the ones who actually did his work, to the ones who actually committed, to the ones who actually did it, to the ones who actually invested and brought joy to the master. Yeah, while he was away, that was the top priority. Like, and at the end of the story, you really see that the master was mad and he ends up chopping the guy to pieces and throwing him where the place, gnashing of teeth, you know, he killed him. So with knowing that my master is like this, okay, I'm going to go do something. But the master is also good because he gave what the servant with the one had, he gave it to the one who had 10. So he's good, but like they should have, the one who didn't do anything should have known. He should have done something, but he didn't. And he got the short end of the stick. Yeah, it was the top priority of the good servants. They weren't treating it as a side job. It was the primary goal. They weren't messing around. But the one who was messing around, he got in trouble. And who is faithful over little will be set over more. So since they were committed, since that was the top priority, God sees that commitment. God sees that it is the top priority, literally number one spot. You're putting all your effort into it. That's like what you're striving forward. That's what you're leaning on. And God sees that. God respects someone who is diligent and determined and who actually invests, like the coins, like the dimes, invests his time, invests your money, invests your lifestyle into Jesus. So God respects that, and he will give you more. He'll give you more. You'll get closer to him. Your faith grows. It's like working out. If you're not committed, you won't see any progress. If you work out once every 3 weeks, but go as hard as you can and rip every muscle in your body, you won't see any progress. You have to be faithful in doing it every single day. Faithful in coming and spending time with Jesus, working out your spirit man so that he gets bigger, so that he gets more capable, so that he grows and gets closer to God. You won't have any progress if you're just, we've all heard this, oh, I'll pray when I feel like it. Like, you, a lot of the times you're not going to feel like praying or reading the Bible. Like, oh God, I just came home, I'm tired, I want to sleep. But no, that's the commitment. And it is sad to see that so many people do commit to working out, but they don't commit to Jesus. So he is calling us to literally work out our spirit man, and that makes him bigger, that makes him stronger. You get closer to God, your faith is built because you're leaning on him, you're having faith. If you're faithful in doing like 20 push-ups a day, you'll get to the point where you can do 50 a day, and then 100 a day, and it keeps going from there. You'll be able to bench like 600 pounds at one point. Oh yeah, see, Jesus, he does these things to us. It's amazing. Yeah, but like going hard, if you do 100 push-ups every like 3 weeks, you won't see any result. You'll just hurt yourself. And I had to learn that out the hard way. So yeah, God calls us to be committed, to be faithful to him. Really, not to lean on anything except him. Remove the walls, remove the chair. And a relationship with Christ is not a passive relationship. It's not just like, oh, hi, what's up? It's not necessarily a visit. It's actually a deed. It's actually something you do. And It takes effort from both parts. From God's part, it's always there because he's there. He's waiting for us. But it's your choice if you want to commit or not. It's your choice if you want to go and let yourself be transformed. But it takes faith. It takes... Yeah, it does take faith to do that. God calls us. God has been calling me, and he's calling every one of you too. Having a lifestyle of faithfulness provides a channel for God to speak and work through us. And a place in scripture that popped into my mind as soon as I wrote that is Hebrews chapter 11, 4 through 8. And this is where it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain." This and that. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and then other stuff. And if we read later, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed." And it just states all the heroes of the faith, all the Old Testament faithful people. And it says, by faith. Like, these people were close to God so they can hear. They were able to receive. They were able to act upon what God planned for them by faith. They lived in that commitment. They lived leaning on him. Abraham, to the point where he interceded for a whole city because of one man. He was faithful. He's like, God, this can't happen. This is my boy. You got to stop this. And God's like, well, we'll see. But he was close enough to just be absolutely raw, absolutely sincere. And it's when you are there where God can actually build you up. You need to go in with no shield, with no security. And those people were that close. Those people adopted that lifestyle that they were able to hear from God in that way. And once again, this is also an example because this is proof of how people live. This is proof of what faith can do. God's will was done through these people. And we see like the, not consequence, but like result of like what Abraham did. He became a great nation. Everything happened the way God planned it to. The genealogy that led to Jesus and all of that good stuff. It was by faith. It says it was by faith that Noah, that Abraham, that Enoch, that all these guys, it was by faith. Are you living in faith? That is a good question to ask yourself. Are you living in faith? That's kind of what God asked me. Because he asked me to start doing that, to start tearing everything down. And I said, yes, I want to live this way. I want to live this way. And it's like, how do you live this way? How do you live in faith? Just be faithful. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Dig, find. The proof is right here. God calls us to be faithful. God is the word, and he provides us with the resources. He provides us with everything necessary to live that lifestyle. If you're confused, look for an answer. And to be faithful, you just gotta have faith. And faithfulness is also like a husband is faithful to his wife. She is the only one for him. Nothing else. Right, Mark? Yeah. So just like God is the groom and we're the bride, that we're faithful. So there shouldn't be anything else. There shouldn't be anyone else. We're completely devoted. He's the first stop. He's the first resort. He's the plan A. There is no B, C. There is no alphabet. There's only plan A. Like, that's the only thing. That's faithfulness. That's literally, you don't have anything except Christ. You're willing to live. You're willing to empty yourself so you can be filled. And that's faith. But it definitely is hard. It's hard to live faithful, but God says the deeper you dig, the deeper, the more you'll find. The more you seek me, the more you will find me, the more answers you will receive. The closer you can get to me, have faith. Be faithful. It's hard. Yes, it's hard because it is so easy to sin. Am I right? Yes, temptations are there. It's so easy. You're just walking and it's just like, I don't want to say natural, but kind of. We were born into sin. We have sin inside us until we accept Christ, but it's like nature almost. And yeah, we were born into sin. Sin is the nature. As followers of Christ, we're always going against the flow. We're like the salmon in the river, you know? They have to swim up. So the water's going this way, but the salmon's going this way. So they're getting swept away, but they're faithful to reaching the end. They're faithful to go and have their babies, you know? Because that's their end goal. Yeah, we're like the salmon swimming upstream, always against the flow. Yeah. Also like working out. The more you lift, the stronger you'll get, the easier it will become to lift heavier things. So God, through that, God equips us. You get stronger, you can lift more. You can share someone's burden, you can help, you can actually do His will. But the load is always there. It's always going to be uncomfortable. Like, it gets easier to bench 600 pounds the more you work out, but the 600 pounds is always there. It's not easy. But we become more capable to do it because we've spent that time, we've invested, we were faithful in allowing God to have His will in us. Because God was like, I want you to lift 6 and 7 and 100, and I want you to lift your own car at one point, because God wants us to be limitless, but God calls us to be faithful in doing that. God calls us to live a life of faithfulness, a life where the default is His glory instead of sin, really. So instead of blowing up and like someone's making you mad, you're like, oh, like, you jerk, or you this, or you that. But instead of that, it's like, no, you just leak Jesus out onto them, like the sponge that's filled with water. You can do anything to the sponge. You can like poke it a little bit and it'll just, oh, Jesus, just start leaking Jesus everywhere. Like that should be the default. That's what God is calling us to do. I want to be like the sponge. I want to be like, someone yells at me, someone upsets me, but I'm just like, Jesus, you need Jesus. Jesus wants to help you. Instead of like, oh, you jerk, or you this, or like, you're hurting my feelings. No, Jesus wants to help you. He wants you to have more. Like the sponge. Yes, Lionel. Listen. Yeah, like when I was telling my friend about Jesus in his garage, he was like, man, this is hard. This sucks. My life isn't like going the way I want it to. Like, things are happening. Instead of saying, dude, that sucks, I'm sorry, I said, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. And he's like, That's probably what it is. That is what it is. Come. And he found Christ, and that's Victor. That was the guy who came to youth last time. That was the guy who came to small group last time. That's him. See, it works. It's physical. He calls us to a life where the only things that matter are his will and his glory. To accomplish his will, to bring glory to him, to lay everything down, to not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You'll be able to know where he's calling you. You'll be able to know what you have to do. You'll have direction. You'll have the plan. You'll have the map that God's like, this is your journey. This is where you need to go. And you're like, yes, Lord, I'm going. And you're faithful to that. You're faithful to reaching the end. You're faithful to letting his will be done. But it's so hard to commit sometimes. It's so hard to commit. It was hard for me to give some things up, and it's still hard sometimes because I still have times where I'm like, I don't want to read. I'm tired. I was active this whole day, and I don't read. I end up going to bed. But see, that's something that God planned. That's an opportunity. That's another step to take. So being faithful also calls you to really lay yourself down, to really lay down your comfort, to really lay down the things that you are familiar with. The things that kind of like make up your life. God wants to wreck us. God wants to wreck us. God wants to transform us. God wants to mold us like the potter and the clay. The clay actually gets like squeezed and beat up and like gets a chunk ripped out of it and then another chunk added. Like the poor clay, that hurts. But that's what God calls us to do. That's God calls us to be in that position so that he can change us. But in that position, that's where he can do his work. That's where he can have his way. And that is what I want. And that is why I made that decision. Amen. Why is it so hard to commit? Because we are not committing. Just do it. Do it. Yeah. Literally, I can't really put it in a more simple term. The leap of faith that my friend needed to take, he just needed to jump. He just needed to leap. And he did leap, and he found Christ. So just do it. Just commit. Just put yourself in that position. Just say yes, because that is all God needs to start his work. I was going through something. My life was hard. I was always sad. And God's like, you need to make a choice, my son. He said this. He's like, you need to make a choice, but I will help you, but you need to make a choice. And I'm like, okay, I'm making that choice. Boom, he started his work. That's all it takes. All it takes is a yes. Just give him the key. And it's amazing because not only does he call me to this, but he calls everybody to this. And it's amazing. But living a faithful life is high risk, high reward. If you give it all, you're going to get it all. And all of it is for his glory. You can't give him 75% of yourself. You can't give 99.999% of yourself to him. God's like, I want it all. I bought all of you with my blood, so all of you belong to me. So it's like, God, I'll give you this 90%, but this 10% still wants to do this thing, still wants to feel good because this is all I know. God's like, no, give it to me. Tear down the wall, tear down the chair, lean on me. Live a life of faithfulness. He calls us to lay down our lives, take up our crosses, and follow him. Living in faith, living faithfully is just looking at Jesus, being like Jesus, and just nothing but Jesus. It's literally, I have nothing but Jesus. He's the plan A. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's all that I have. And that's all we need. Amen. So, God calls us to live faithfully. God calls us to live in faith. Like, I don't want to be a lukewarm person, because we've known so many people like that, where they're like, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I go to church. But then they're doing something like on the sidelines, they're doing something over there that does not agree with what they said. I don't want to be like that. It's all or nothing. There is no gray. It's black or white. And living faithfully and living into faith is making that choice to walk into the light, not to stay on the line, not to kind of, you know, dance around. God says, I want you. I need you. I need you to live faithfully. I have more for you. He said, you are called to more. When he was telling me to give up those things, you are called to more. But Jesus, no, more. I want you to have more. So you take that first step, and that's your life. You go. You go. So he's calling everyone to this. He's calling everyone to live a life of faith, but the choice is yours. No one can help you in that except yourself. Amen. Keys, please. No one can help you except you. And I am so grateful that God is so merciful to always provide us with another chance, provide us with another opportunity to say yes, to get closer to Him. It's amazing. It's awesome that He is so easy to find, that He is a good Father, that He is all forgiving. But when He told me to make that choice, He's like, you can either keep messing up and keep feeling bad and keep visiting me like, oh, Jesus, I messed up. This sucks. I'm sorry. Or you can lay it all down and come to me and follow me and go where I plan for you to go. And He said, you need to make a choice, my son. I will help you. And I said, yes, Lord. And the very moment I said that, He started working. He started swinging the hammer. And it's amazing, because what He did for me, He can do for anyone. And it's amazing. Living faithfully is not easy. Living completely sold out is not easy. If it was easy, there would be way more of us. But it's not. So God calls us to live faithfully. God calls us to accept what He has planned, to equip us to go be like Him, to go do His will, to go be the friend of sinners, to go and let His will be done on earth. This is how He works, through people like us. So let's all rise to our feet.